Something's going right now, though. We are live. I'm going to get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Side Quest. The Side Quest Live. We are doing stuff. It is Dolly. I am also here with Aaron, who's actually hosting the stream. And Sam, who's back for a second week in a row.
Yes, I am. They have let me out of my cage, and I've been able to do things in public this week. Nice. The only reason I'm able to be on this show is it took us forever to launch this show today.
Correct.
I am here 45 minutes late, but perfectly on time.
I will say this. Things are so bad streaming-wise on my end because I have a billion pieces of software hooked up to my parents' house that it's chugging their system down. I might stream next week from my mother-in-law's house. How's that for fun? Everybody doing good? That was the weirdest face I saw from you, Aaron.
He was more concerned.
It has been a week. It has been a month. I'm all interruption. We were actually supposed to have a guest this week. A developer was going to be on board, but streaming was one of the issues, obviously. There's other issues involved. Like, I don't think I'd be able to pull it off at this juncture. But I could stream from my phone. It might be even easier. But let's get a good show today. Get into what we've been playing. It's no way to talk about Sam.
Wow. I don't even know what the elephant in the room is, and that was just mean.
Oh, nice. Yes, I see it. I love that. That does work really well. And I'm going to tweet out for people to watch us because it's worth it. Dolly sucks. Dolly's on Wi-Fi at his parents' basement. Really? Unfortunately, I'm stuck using Wi-Fi because of where this office is compared to where they have their stinking router. They have their router on top of the fridge in the basement, in like halfway across the house from here. So that's what I'm at right now. That's the life I'm living. So let's talk about games we've been playing. I'm going to hop in first with Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem. And I've been playing the hell out of that. So quick little update. My papa has been in the hospital for something he had had a procedure, let's just say. I won't get into too much information. There's a whole lot of blood. But that allowed me to sit in a hospital room and just play video games. God bless the Switch for being a portable HD console and allowing me to play modern games, because that's an advantage right there, my friends. Having a device that has decent visuals, but terrific games. And I played two groundbreaking games. Fire Emblem is one of them. I'm actually much further along in that now. I think I'm about 18 hours into that game now, which means I'm only like a tenth of the way into that game, according to what everybody's saying. There's a time skip that everybody knows about in this game. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens nowhere near that. I'm nowhere near any of that. I've got plus hours left to go before any of the major storylines start to happen. But things do get pretty hot and heavy with my classmates, or my students, I should say, in terms of Sam, are you playing it yet?
Yeah, I've played around a little bit with it some more. Okay. I haven't gotten like too far in it, but I've certainly gotten to the stuff now where like you start seeing the sort of side conversations,
yeah,
and the supporting stuff, and learning that like, oh, I thought everything was hunky-dory within the internal politics of my house, but turns out I was completely wrong in that regard. So there's some stuff, and, you know, I'm starting to see, like, I'm starting to get some secondhand embarrassment from some of the characters that struggle with, like, talking to people and being like, oh, I know exactly where you're at, bud. Like, so, yeah, some of that stuff is hitting a little too close to home for me. Yeah, it's like certainly ramping up in a way that like gets me excited to play more of it.
It's a deep ass game. It is a deep, Nintendo didn't advertise it. It's certainly got a whole bunch of Persona in it.
Oh yeah.
Actual Fire Emblem in it. And, a lot bigger game than I think any Fire, definitely bigger than any Fire Emblem I've played before.
Now I've been told that we should all fear the deer. Can you confirm this?
Golden deer. I'm blue lion.
Yeah, I am golden deer, but as far as I know, things have been pretty okay in that house so far. You know, we'll have to see going down the line. But it seems like to me, like, no matter how forward at the front that the houses, the different houses were sketchy, like, it seems like each house definitely has its own sketchy stuff going on.
I really freaking enjoy the character designs. So, well, first of all, let me just say this. I'm at a point right now where, like, the game kind of starts you off teaching students. So you have, like, these weekly classes. And along the way, you can, like, to try to win them over if you've made enough, you know, made extra gold here and there. And then every Saturday or every seventh day, whatever weekend, you get to actually walk around is it a monastery? You get to walk around like the grounds of the school essentially, mm-hmm. and do a bunch of little mini side quests. You only have a certain amount of activity points if you want to go like fishing or gardening or cooking, and you can use that stuff up. Pretty quickly if you haven't built up your levels and your character's levels and stuff. But there's a lot of the side quests of things that you're doing for your students and other students that can, you know, increase those relationships between the characters, can improve their own personal individual levels, make them better students. Because at the end of that week, you actually go into a teaching portion where you're throwing lesson plans at them and shit like that. But it's really kind of interesting, and there's a whole bunch of stuff to do. Now, granted, you can skip through all of this if you don't want to do it, which is actually kind of nice for those of us that are really lazy. Just keep hitting that goddamn skip button and you're set. But I think it works out really well for those people that really want to get into the nitty gritty of the, you know, the character building, which I think is like one of the key aspects of modern Fire Emblem, is how you get those characters to kind of cooperate and work together. And of course, if they do build up these relationships, and they're stronger on the, you know, on the battlefields and stuff. So it definitely works to your benefit. But the character designs are bonkers. First of all, you have one of the instructors is a female who like literally starts off asking if you want to bang her, which is really kind of bizarre, but whatever. There's other characters on there that are just like, there's a whole big horned up, sexed up portion of the school, which is crazy for Nintendo, but I guess pretty normal for anime. Yeah, it's pretty cool from that standpoint. Then you get the actual battlefield. These are huge battlefields compared to previous Fire Emblem games. Even the first couple battles that you're into, which is just against bandits and stuff, there's a lot of traversal that you can do, and they really kind of emphasize using the environment to your advantage, moving your characters around, splitting them up a lot more. I mean, I splitted my characters up a lot more in just the first few battles than I did in previous Fire Emblem games. So that was kind of cool.
How many of your students can you date?
None. I don't think you can date students, but you can have them date each other. I guess you can. it's funny because I think like very early on, someone makes the point that they're like, "Wow, you're an instructor, but you're basically our age as well." So, I guess you know maybe ethically you probably would want to date your student, but age wise, there's not that much of a difference. Yeah, it's so good. And the visual, I love the visual style that they've gone to since the 3DS games, which they're really incorporating that kind of cool hand drawn anime, 3D anime style into the design. So it's really nice. But yeah, it's so fucking good. It's so deep. It's so deep. I'm really into it. The other game I've been playing. Do you want to say anything else, Sam, about Fire Emblem, or you want to?
Not really. I mean, I haven't. Okay. I'm probably not even as far as you are at this point. I haven't got into any of the sort of like, you know, forming relationships with characters or having those characters like form relationships with each other than, you know, having them fight next to each other in battle or sending them on some of the like group activities together. But I think I've now gotten access to everywhere in the monastery. Like there's still even like some of that stuff I'm trying to figure out. They just introduced me to the idea of like lost items. So like people will lose items like around the monastery and you can turn things into people to boost their I can't think of what the exact term is, but their willingness to learn effectively. And I've, you know, they don't directly tell you, but it might be smart to hold on to a lost item that somebody lost to boost their motivation later than to just give it to them right away and kind of lose that bonus that you get. So some of that stuff's interesting. It definitely feels like if you're willing to micromanage everything, like you could do something like a Persona where you boost everybody's relationships perfectly and you get like everybody learned their specific skills to the max, but you also won't suffer from kind of just like figuring it out as you go and piecing together what you want to piece together. So it definitely gives you options. And I totally agree with the, you know, you can totally ignore all of that sort of RPG learning stuff.
Just a glimpse.
And if you set the game to casual, you can pretty much like
just
fudge your way through battles and like limp your way through that if what you care about is just the social aspect of it too. So that's definitely a good point for people that maybe aren't so into those sort of turn-based RPGs, but are into the sort of visual novels that get paired with them sometimes.
It's so good. I advertise it as much as they should have, but it's a huge game. I mean, it's every year they drop this big RPG. I think the first year was Xenoblade. The second year they had that Xenoblade like spin-off game. This year they have this, which is huge. So the other game I've been playing, actually, we've been talking about this game for a long time, and I'm so glad I finally got my hands on it. And of course, Scoot, 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 Scoot. Oh, for like, I think the game launched at like $39.99 and lost $10 every week off that price. And it was like 2 weeks ago, and I bought it for this discount for like that. It's not a good game. But I will say this. Controls were okay, which they're definitely not. If the controls were okay, myself a little bit more time than what I did, because it's a riff on Splatoon. You're essentially a bunch of kids riding scooters, and you all have your own ink color, and you have to splat in field, which is like a skate park. So it's kind of a neat idea. Splat the playing field with as much ink as you can. You could do that whether you're just kind of running around and jumping and doing stuff, or and get points for tricks and kind of build up multipliers. You can activate things on each of the levels. So there are ways to do it. There's like no combat in this. It's a first-person scooter, or it's a third-person scooter game. But there's a few modes on there, but they all kind of relate to you know, how much ink can you splat on there? And like I said, I mean, really what's holding this game back isn't that premise, it's or the kind of the poor visuals, it's the shitty controls. And I really wish that they took some time to do these controls right, because like I said, it's not a horrible game. It's not a good game, but you know, for $10, it would have been a totally worth picking, you know, you wouldn't be upset picking up for $10. I'll just say that. Yeah, Crayola Scoot. You can have a wild character like a T-Rex gremlin, a purple alien, a knight and a zombie and a robot and a witch, all of which are characters you can select. I'm sorry, this is a robot cop and a witch. All these are all characters you can select to play as on your
robot cop, scooter. You say?
A robot cop, not a RoboCop. A robot cop.
So if I'm a Tony Hawk fan, is there anything here
it's
for me?
Skate 4. Why is it called Scoot? It should be Skate.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it does have better graphics than Tony Hawk 5 did. So
yeah, there probably. Yeah, that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing, Sam?
Pretty much just from Fire Emblem. Been going back through Toad's Treasure Tracker. Since my Wii U copy somehow died. So, yeah, so I have been going through, and I mean, I 100%ed Toad's Treasure Tracker on Wii U, but I've been telling myself that the only way I'm buying the DLC for the Switch is if I play back through the game and enjoy it, and I've been doing as such. So, playing a little bit of that. And then randomly, I've been getting into just playing like a couple of the big team battle matches or whatever they're called, team rumbles in Fortnite. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I watched like the YouTube video for the new like battle royal season, and I was like, oh, maybe I should turn that on and like try to play a couple rounds. And I don't know. I've just been kind of enjoying it. I think I also like the idea that now that they have the like cross progression system, I could pick up my Switch or I could be on my computer or whatever device that I want, hell, load it up on my Android phone and like gain the same sort of progression across all of them. That like I think that just gives me like a default excuse to play Fortnite instead of something else. I mean, that's great, and Fortnite's still as dumb and goofy as ever, so you know, I've never been in the camp of, you know, oh, Fortnite sucks or never Fortnite or play a real man's BR game or something like that. But I don't know. It's fun. It's good to hop in for like 10 minutes and then, you know, go watch YouTube or do something else that's, you know, the thing you actually want to do as opposed to just like playing games. So I've been hopping in and out, using it as a nice like palate cleanse from just the abuse of Fire Emblem.
I like that you call it the abuse of Fire Emblem. That's good.
Well, the problem with like RPGs that I have, and Fire Emblem has been showing signs of it, is there's a lot of times where like I want to play the version of the game that the game's not ready for me to play at that moment. So you have to get through like the hour of story talky-talk before you can actually start playing like battles. So, like, I always have the issue of, like, oh, I should play Fire Emblem, but I got, like, 20 minutes worth of talk, and I just want to play, like, a battle right now. And, like, that's where I get the hang up with stuff like Fire Emblem. And, like, I appreciate both ends. I want to, you know, I don't want to read. I could just get a book out and read. I want to play the game. Sometimes you got to read a couple chapters of the book before you can start playing.
That's why my thumbs are the most worked out part of my body, because I just sit there and skip, 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 skip.
Well, what dialogue have you been skipping recently, Aaron?
Well, luckily I haven't been playing anything.
We should rename this portion of the podcast. That what dialogue are you skipping?
No, it's a running joke, but in my Final Fantasy 14 guild, that I have no idea what's going on in that story because I skip all the fucking cutscenes.
Where did these chicken birds come from?
But no, I've been playing. I've still just been playing Teamfight, and I've been playing some 7 Days to Die with a crew of people, and I've been streaming the Teamfight on my channel, and then a crew of us are sort of rotating who streams 7 Days. We've almost survived. We're up to like day 28, So there should be a big attack coming that might kill us, but probably won't, because we're really good at that video game. Because we're super good, you guys.
I'm sure somebody's brought this up before, but every time I hear the title of 7 Days to Die, I assume that it's a game that you have 7 days to kill yourself. And I know the point of the game is to make it longer than 7 days alive, but like I always get confused, and I'm like, it just sounds like you're trying to kill yourself another 7 days. And I've seen people play that game, and it is rather easy to get yourself killed.
It is. Here's the fun part about that game that's totally incidental to me playing it or to the actual gameplay. Fast and the Furious, the movie franchise, has ruined that game's name for me, because it's the number 7 days, the word two, like T-O, die. And every time I write that in any facet, I write 7, the number, days, to the number, die. I just can't help it. God damn you. Fast and the Furious movies, you've ruined me. You've ruined my brain.
Too fast, too furious.
7 Fast, 7 Furious.
7 Fast.
Don't give them any ideas. They'll take them.
Oh, God, I hope so. I want those movies to go on forever. I saw how Paul Walker looked. He looked all right.
All right. They brought him... Oh, I don't say they brought him back to life.
They reanimated his corpse.
They reanimated his corpse.
But, no, I've just been playing those because there hasn't really been anything...
Big releases.
And no big releases, and like even the small stuff that I tend to go towards, it's just like there's not a lot of it. The only thing that has even like remotely kind of caught my attention isn't out until October, and that's that Indivisible game that's coming out from the studio that made Skullgirls. Is that RPG they're making?
I played that like three or four years ago at E3 and really liked it.
Well, yeah. They had a demo for their Kickstarter that was like available on PlayStation. So like, I feel like I've seen that game in circulation for almost 10 years now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Skullgirls is really old too, right? Like that came out forever ago. But yeah. I've just had my eye on that, and it came up again like today or yesterday, because I guess the release date got confirmed for the 8th of October.
Finally.
Mm-hmm.
So the 2 months from now, exactly 2 months from now, I think. That. But yeah. So I've been playing Teamfight. I've been playing 7 Days, and that's pretty much it.
Are there games like this fall release schedule that you guys are waiting for? Like, I feel like I'm waiting for so many games this year, and I'm normally not like that. I'm really interested in trying Control when it comes out.
Weeks here, right?
Yeah, I think it's at the end of this month, and like I'm like super looking forward to Death Stranding. I'm even like very curious about Gears 5 this year. Like, I just feel like there's a lot that I'm like interested in seeing. Not that I'll even like pick it up and play it, but I'm interested in seeing like what the sort of discussion around it is and like what those games end up being.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you. I massively long for this year. All of Nintendo Switch stuff, because I got back into Pokemon,
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, Luigi is my entire November.
I want to get that Astral Chain.
Yeah,
really badass. I'm not quite ready. I don't know if I'll be sold on Daemon X Machina yet, because I'm not a big mech type of guy. But that may be like a springtime pickup for me. But yeah, Gears 5. Interested in. I think I have like Gears 1 through 4 on the gold, so I can just pick those up.
Yeah, like the first thing that I got a list pulled up for like the calendar release, and like the first thing I see that I'm at all interested in is Indivisible, which is on October 8th, and then for
right,
big the big release is Outer Worlds is October 25th. And then Death Stranding's in November.
Outer World, totally forgot about that. That looks fucking awesome.
If I get a Switch by November, I'm interested in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Just because I think that would be cool for like my first official Pokemon game to be the first console one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the first actual Pokemon game on a console.
I was going to say, every time that gets brought up, I'd like to remember everybody of Gales of Darkness that was on the GameCube, but Ooh. Go on.
But yeah, like Doom Eternal is November, and that's sort of it for this year, at least for me. There's a lot of shit that's not scheduled, but I don't think it's even hinted at coming out this year. Like Dwarf Fortress, the Steam version, I'd like to play that, but it's still, I mean, its release date is still, time is subjective, so. But yeah.
I think there's a pun. I mean, Destiny, right? Destiny has their big launch. Interested has a big launch coming up here soon, I guess, too, right? So,
like, there's some shit that I would play. It's just like, it's just not on my radar right now. But that's how I always am with stuff that, like anything I'm not, like Age of Wonders Planetfall, apparently that is something that I would normally have played, and I've never heard of that series. But it looks cool, but eh. Anyway. I got nothing else. I've talked to death about the things I've been playing, because I've been playing the same thing for like 3 weeks now. So, you guys want to hear about Auto Chess?
Anything new on Auto Chess this time?
No, I haven't even gone up a single rank since last week. I've been the exact same rank the entire time.
All right.
Yep. It's very frustrating.
And that has been your Auto Chess auto update of the week.
Yep.
Has anybody gotten back into Eco?
No. Eco thing? We did that big game, and then we're probably not going to touch it until a year has passed. Because that's how that seems to go.
I'm still so bummed that I missed like that whole Eco game, because my brother had visited, and by the time I got back, everybody had like what is essentially cars in that game, and I was like, okay, sweet. I guess I'll just be the homeless guy under the bridge.
Living in a hut next to the giant wizard tower.
Yeah.
That everybody thought was an affront to God.
Weren't people worshiping that tower by the end of it?
People were worshiping the meteor from that tower. Yeah,
you got me looking at Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness now.
People forget it exists, but it definitely happened.
It was the second Pokemon console RPG game.
Now, is it pronounced Pokemon XD, or is it pronounced like Pokemon and then you make the face that XD represents in emoticon?
You know, I didn't get that for like the first 5 years. That was the thing on the internet. I was like, what the fuck does this XD thing mean?
Everybody really likes Pokemon. Was Colosseum also, I think it was, I mean, Colosseum.
Yeah.
Colosseum and Stadium, like there were, and like Snap and stuff, there were console games, but they weren't like actual like catch 'em all Pokemon games, right?
Yeah, but that Gale of Darkness was a, like, go fight gym leaders, I'm pretty sure, right? Like,
yep. It was, this is the, where they had more of the shadow Pokemon in there, I think, which are now in Pokemon Go. Get those shadow Pokemon.
Aren't they in constant pain?
A lot of them are, yes.
Like, isn't that the lore behind the shadow Pokemon, is that they're essentially being tortured for as long as they survive?
I'm not purifying any of the ones I catch, because I want to have like an army of these just pained Pokemon that I can battle with.
Yo, did you see those Weezings with the top hats that are stoves or that are chimneys?
Dude, yeah, they're like, they're bongs.
there is somebody right now that does glass blowing that is working on a bong that's shaped exactly like one of those. Isn't there lore like they are, like they clean the, they filter like the actual pollution from the smokestacks in cities? Because I saw somebody being like, I'm going to have a whole team and just be walking around like an air purifier.
Bring them to this planet because we need to purify our shit. Let's get into some news.
Yeah, it's been an okay-ish news week. I got a bunch of stuff written down here. Let's see what we got. Might as well bring this one up first, because it's the most least interesting. Valve's changing how their upcoming releases section works on Steam. So for a long time, There's been a problem where developers could essentially set whatever release date they wanted, and then as they missed the date, they could just change it. So they would, and you could do that to manipulate, and so your game kept appearing on the like upcoming releases thing. Like, oh, it's actually coming out next week. Let me just roll it back. Oh, now it's an upcoming release. So they're changing that to a try and stop that sort of manipulation. And they've been holding off on making any changes for a while because they didn't want to restrict what developers could do. Like, they want developers to be in charge of their own games essentially. So, like, set your own time. But now they're saying, like, if you set a time, you can still set whatever date you want, but you best be fucking sure, is basically what they're said. Which, yeah, that seems fair. I've seen games on there that are from, like, 2014 that are, like just randomly on the upcoming releases list. It's like, they've been on it's not even like it's a new Steam release. It's like, I own this game. I've had this game from a Humble Bundle for like 4 years. Why is it on the upcoming releases list? But, yeah. Evo happened.
Evo.
That was pretty much painless and good fun. But there was one thing, though. Hey, what do you guys think about Solid Snake?
Oh God, that's a drama. That's a beef drama that's going on.
Yeah, that was kind of wild. I guess a bunch of the boys at Evo paid David Hayter to record a line as Snake because he just sells his voice, and somehow that's totally fine.
Yeah, it was using one of those. I think specifically the app is called Cameo that they use.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, it's one of those ones where it's like, oh, I can pay like $100 and get David Hayter to say like, "Happy birthday, Steve," using the Snake voice. But I'm pretty sure in those terms of services for those apps, it mentions that you can't use it for like promotional material and stuff like that. Like, it is specifically like a private transaction between you and that person.
Yeah.
They decided like, oh, hey, we're going to use it to both promote Street Fighter and Evo at the same time and break those rules twice.
So
totally get, dude, we can get Gilbert Gottfried to record for side questing. Michael Rapaport.
Everybody's on Cameo.
Andy Dick, this is awesome.
But yeah, no, I just so like on the one hand, on the one side, the guys who did that at Evo, like that was very stupid, especially because they weren't actually like they made everybody think that like Snake was coming to Tekken because Tekken has a history of doing like reveals at Evo, and he wasn't. But on the other hand, David Hayter was pissed and like had a tweet like essentially lashing out like, don't you ever fucking use my voice without my permission ever again. It's like, dude, you're selling your voice, so like you took money for it. I don't think you get to be pissed about that. Number two, you're not even selling your voice, you're selling the character you play's voice. Like, is that even legal? Like, is Konami okay with him selling lines at like Solid Snake lines?
Because that's the thing, is I think, like, Hayter was even looking to try to cover himself because, I mean, you can as a voice actor do it, but that voice technically belongs to Konami because right. It's identified with that character. So it might have been something like, hey, like, you know, I necessarily shouldn't have been selling this anyway, but then you took it and you broke our, you know, assumed contract of how you were going to use it, so now you can screw both of us over, and Konami can go after both of us for using it in a negative way.
Yeah. The whole situation's dumb, essentially. But, and then there was more where, like, oh, shit, I don't have his name. Keiji Inafune, the Tekken guy? Mm-hmm. Is it him? I'm just going to quickly Google Tekken 7 guy. No, I'm not looking for Heihachi Mishima. Thanks, Google.
Lost Planet, Dead Rising, Onimusha. He's at Capcom, by the way.
Oh, it was Harada.
Harada. Yeah.
He came out with, I'm pretty sure it was him that came out with a statement saying, like, this was all a mix-up, and we're not affiliated with this in any way, and there's no announcement coming, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just, it was a whole just weird, stupid Evo mess. They almost got through an Evo without fucking stuff up.
get Tony Hawk to record a message for SideQuest. I'm still stuck on Cameo.
I would pay Tony Hawk to say "Cowabunga," and I know that's not something that skateboarders say often, but I think it would be hysterical.
Probably.
Is he on there? He might be on there.
Probably.
And no, Dr. Jones, going back to Steam for a second, they added an option where you can filter out all the adult content from displaying on your Steam. So they're keeping it, all the upcoming releases, at least for me, because I haven't turned that option off or porn. Because, you know, that's great. You want to hear more news about other people that were pissed? How about that Ooblets Epic Game Store thing?
Oh, God, that's a good one.
Yikes.
Did you guys see the Medium post
that they put out afterwards?
Yeah. I hate gamers. It's so fucking gross. Especially given the fact that this is like... This is a game that if they had not accepted a contract from the Epic Game Store, if they just released wherever the fuck they were going to release, nobody would buy this game and nobody would have heard of this game. No offense to that game. Right. It's just that it's that that's the kind of game it is. That was a game that was important to like a very small section of people. It was a game that was crowdfunded, which means that small section of people probably already like whoever was going to throw money at it, chances are the majority of them already had. And now it's just, like, entitled fucking children hurling, like, vitriol and insults at these developers because they don't like the Epic Game Store.
Yeah, it's always the case where it seems like the people that are most upset about this are people that wouldn't be interested in the game at all. And the people that are, you know, super psyched for Ooblets to come out, if anything, this is great news because now that they, you know, they can rely on this production and they can actually produce it, get it to the extent that they want to. And yeah, it might mean that, okay, well, now that they have a, you know, an arguably bigger budget, the game's going to take longer to come out. But it's not like the game is like locked behind a console. And right. I mean, it's the same argument that you're always going to have with these people is it's not locked behind a console yet. Epic is a questionable company, but so is Valve. And like, there is no company that's hands are completely clean in almost anything nowadays. Mm-hmm. But like, if that's what you're going to get into semantics, like, I don't know what to tell you. It's a app that you have to download something else. And if you're not willing to download that, well, then I guess you don't get to play all the cool games that are going to be on there.
Well, I was thinking about it. The other day, I was reading through a thread about it on Reddit, and somebody had just offhandedly mentioned about how all this bad press that these guys are getting might not be super good for them because as an indie game and like an indie studio, they really rely on the goodwill of their prospective customers to be a success. And then I started thinking that like, well, that's not really true anymore. Because Epic, these contracts are essentially guaranteeing a break-even level for any of these games that sign on with them, which means power has essentially been taken away from all of the prospective customers. Like, they can't vote with their wallets anymore. They could say, I'm not going to buy it, and therefore this game will fail, and I've had a small part in that, but that's not how it is anymore. Now they can say, well, I'm going to vote with my wallet and not buy it, and the game still broke even because Epic's the one fronting the bill.
Well, yeah, and I would even argue that in the short term, obviously, this negative press, like, for them personally, especially because of all the personal attacks and all the nonsense that's been going in that way, is negative. But I think in the long run, all this weird internet, like, mob mentality against them might end up boosting their sales just because you have people that, you know, yeah, it's more visible. You have people that are reading this and are like, you know, I'm sympathetic to these things and I can see that this is a type of game that I'm on board with. And I might not have been able to see it because if Epic wasn't going to host it in front of their storefront, you know, I might not have seen it or I might not have seen it that this controversy is a thing. And I can tell you as somebody who has been tracking the development of Ooblets, it going on Epic Game Store is not an inconvenience to me at all. And you know, I love that they are now have the confident backing that Ooblets will come out. It will probably get like a good update or two, and then they get to go and start on another project, whether that be Ooblets 2 or something else, and make another game and at least start that game in a financial set that they can feel confident to move forward with it.
I got to jump into something. I got to pull you back in reality there, Sam. Oblitz. It's written Oblitz.
Is it? I've never actually heard somebody say it, so I don't know for sure. We all know
the correct pronunciation is Oblé.
Oblates.
Canadian, it's Oblé.
That's probably accurate. So, so Oblé, I've been tracking it. It's like one of those words where it's like you've heard it forever and then you see it in spelling and you're like, well, that's not how that word should be spelled. Or like you've been saying it one way and then somebody goes, that's not at all how that's like how that's pronounced.
And you're dumb.
It's that stuff where you pour a bunch of cornstarch and water into a kiddie pool.
There you go. Yeah.
That's like a, I have been calling, I know it's Adobe Premiere and like Adobe After Effects and stuff like that, but I was calling it Adobe for so long that I cannot. Oh,
fantastic.
Say it. Yeah.
Hyperbole. I got one other big news thing. Excuse me. And that's the Take-Two versus the YouTuber Submato.
Okay. Yeah, this is an interesting one.
This was pretty fucked up. So the backstory here is that Submato is a YouTuber who has popularized a YouTube channel essentially based on Borderlands 3 information. And a lot of it's been like leaked and like very accurate information that he's somehow over the months gotten his hands on, months and years gotten his hands on before it's been announced, and was accurate enough to the point that it turns out that Take-Two had been investigating him for something like 10 months and then eventually sent private investigators to his house after the latest round of leaks. It's pretty weird because they've said like, we're not looking to pursue legal action. But then on the other hand, it turns out that Submato had a Discord server, like a private Discord server, where he was selling access to the server, which contained like his sources or whatever, for $5 YouTube subscriptions. So like, if people paid money to subscribe to his YouTube channel, like with a membership or whatever, they could get access to his Discord and find out about Borderlands 3. And there's like vague allegations of hacking, and like he was denying that he had hacked anything, and it was all public access. But then somebody proved it wasn't. He was using an exploit on Twitch to gain access to like Borderlands accounts or something like that. And then that's sort of where that stands. It got outed that private investigator showed up at his house to question him and shit like that. And then he had deleted like his Twitter and his Discord servers in the meantime and wasn't responding to comments. But yeah.
The game's almost out. That's another one I'm kind of looking forward to.
That's October as well, I'm pretty sure, right?
No, September, I thought, right?
Let's find out.
When does Borderlands 3 come out? Shut up.
September 13th.
There you go.
I'm faster than Siri. But, yeah, so that whole thing. Yeah, I don't know. That seems stupid. I would all probably be on this dude's side if he hadn't been selling... if he hadn't been selling memberships to access his Discord. Like, if he was just making his YouTube channel, even if his videos were monetized or whatever, I'd still probably be on this guy's side. But the fact that he was, like, trying to, like, really fucking make some money off of it, like, with his Discord and stuff like that, that seems gross.
The dude who is trying to sell the Apple iPhone 4, right? Remember that when that thing leaked?
Oh, we found
it. They were trying to buy the iPhone. So they were trying to buy the iPhone 4.
Yeah.
Buying one or finding it or something. So, is that all for news that you got?
That's what I got.
More stories. There's the in wake of all of the the shootings that unfortunately have happened here in the U.S. the last few weeks and last few years. have decided to pull violent video game imagery from store shelves, but continue to sell guns. So that's a thing. So yeah, they're taking things down like Call of Duty and Battlefield and stuff, but you can go right around the corner and buy yourself the same gun that was on the cover of those games. So that's a thing.
Your country seems great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The final game list for the TurboGrafx 16, that little mini console they're putting out. There's one of those coming out too. They released a list for that, and there's I think there's like 18 Bonk's Adventure games on there. So we really hope you like Bonk's Adventure.
I do like Bonk's Adventure.
Yeah, that's bad, not bad. Kind of interesting was they have the Gamescom is doing that opening night live stream, the opening night live, I think is what they're calling it, that Keeley's hosting. So it's sort of a video game or like a game awards.
Dust Keeley's
kickoff for Gamescom. So I'm actually kind of interested because a bunch of rumors are that Capcom's showing a brand new AAA game. Obviously we'll see more Death Stranding stuff because they're best friends. You're going to see stuff from EA, which is probably FIFA, 2K, which is kind of interesting. So I'm kind of interested in that. Sony, Xbox Game Studios, Square Enix, which I'm curious what Square Enix would show. Maybe more Final Fantasy VII stuff.
Avengers.
Yeah, I guess Avengers too. So yeah, there's a few things that we could actually see happening there. Hopefully, you know, there's some new games to make us spend more money on.
You think they're going to do a full interactive Fortnite thing again this year?
What was that? I don't remember that.
At Gamescom last year, didn't they have like a full like Fortnite area with like a zip line
where you could
zip line into the Fortnite area and shit like that?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll totally do that. They'll totally do that.
Was it Gamescom where they had like the break-inable vehicles where they had like the stuff from Fortnite and nobody, like for the first day, nobody was doing it because they were too respectful? Or was that E3?
I think it was probably... No, it wasn't E3.
It certainly wasn't E3.
It was Fortnite. It must have been Fortnite. Gamescom. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I think that's good enough for news for now.
Yeah. It's been a decently slow news week, except for... Yeah. There's been a couple, and they were big, and then, you know. Hey, did we talk about Ninja on Mixer? Did we bring that up last week?
We did.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Yeah, he's on Mixer now.
He's got a million subs now.
Jesus. I went on Mixer the other day. I was looking something up. I don't even remember what it was. It was for something to do with setting up like a restream. I was looking up different tags and stuff like that. And they've got a front page carousel just like Twitch. And Ninja was the front, obviously. And he had like 15,000 viewers. And then I clicked once to the left, and it was some other dude I've never heard of who had like 800. And then the next three had 15, 15, and 8.
Wow.
And it's just like...
Get on that mix, or...
It's like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if people see those numbers and go, I could get 8 people... They're probably getting exactly what they want out of Ninja being on that platform. You know what I mean? Like if they get enough people going, like I could do that and I could watch some of that stuff. I watched Jeff Grubb do a podcast on there last week, and I just spammed his chat with emotes that cost 100 whatevers each.
Lightning bolts or whatever we get through there.
I don't even remember. I think they're called embers or sparks or some shit like that.
Thousands, because I just left it open for like couple years back. I think every E3 I just leave the Mixer window open on the Xbox page and just rack up sparks.
I had like 5,000.
I'm a top tier Mixer viewer.
I got nothing to say about Mixer. It's their software seems really good, and I have no interest in trying to use it because I'm still working on that Twitch.
Like thing. Tom said last week, it's the best tech out there, but it's also the HD DVD versus a.
They should lease their tech to Twitch. They should just lease it to Twitch and get in on that and just like collect eternal money from them instead of trying to make their own thing.
they're still behind Twitch and YouTube, and there always will be. Twitch is the first one. It's the end because it's tied to Amazon. But let's pack this sucker up.
Yeah, that's all.
It's 11.
It is almost midnight here.
I'm gonna play a little bit more Fire Emblem and fall asleep. So, thank you everybody for joining us. My internet managed to hold up. My to stream did not, so I will get this thing figured out. Dr. Jones, I was waiting for you to start chatting. You finally did. So how's it going, Dr. Jones, in the chat room? It's nice that you were able to join us.
I think the developers of Fire Emblem are cowards because Persona 5 let you bang your teacher, but this one doesn't let you bang your students.
On that note, bang your students and teachers in your dreams. This is the side quest. You can find us at sidequesting.com, at sidequesting on the social, sidequesting TV, also on Twitch and on Mixer. I should get us a Mixer account. That'd be funny. And YouTube's. You can find me at Dolly Demoski. We can find Scratty Bones where?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at Scratty Bones. And it just occurred to me that we do these intros every week. I know we do these intros every week. I know all of the different links.
Uh-huh.
I could have made an end card slate.
Oh, shit. We totally should do that.
I could just have had one of those ready and just hit the transition button. And I didn't.
You didn't. Next time. And Sam, we don't care where you are.
No, like a shadow Pokemon, I am constantly in pain and can be seen right through. So there's nowhere you can find me except for on the GameCube.
Nice. You exist in the next. That's it.
Charles is killing my head.